It is hot. A beach Friday for me. Did you see Kansas voters rejected the constitutional amendment that would restrict and limit access to abortion rights in Kansas? Trevor Noah said, yeah, no one expected this. This was a bigger shock than when Batgirl found out her real nemesis was the CEO of Warner Brothers. Colbert said, keep in mind, the blowout happened after a series of dirty tricks from Republicans in Kansas. First, they made the wording of the ballot measure extra confusing. Then they sent voters text messages right before the election that misleadingly equated a yes vote with personal choice. Colbert said, they try to trick them into voting the wrong way. This is the most misleading political message since 1952's I Like Ike, Too Much to Burden Him with the Presidency, Vote Stevenson. In other news, Stephen Colbert was looking at a new study that found that eating processed food like ice cream hurts your brain function. Stephen said, stop it, science. Just stop studying things. This is why people turn against you and start eating house paste. What's next? Puppy kisses cause herpes? Exposure to Chris Evans is depleting the ozone layer? Just let us have nice things. There's a whole bunch of movies today. Pete Davidson's Bodies is opening. Patton Oswalt is in a movie called I Love My Dad. In the movie, Patton Oswalt plays a dad who wants to reconnect with his son, so the dad creates a fake Facebook profile based on a young woman he knows, and he ends up catfishing his son. Yes, that is icky. Variety writes, Patton Oswalt is okay with making you squirm. After all, the actor and comic once performed a number called The Cringe on an episode of Crazy Ex-Girlfriend. Patton says, real comedy comes from those moments. I fully ascribe to Tracy Morgan's maxim that cool is the enemy of funny. Cringe and awkwardness are real humanity, and that's where the real funny stuff comes from. Patton's new special, We All Scream, comes to Netflix September 20th. Patton says he will touch on recent topics like the pandemic and cancel culture. That's original. But one thing that's different about it is that I'm being defiantly goofy and silly about it. Thank goodness. Patton has apologized for remarks he made in the past and has publicly reversed his prior defense of comedians who make rape jokes. Patton said, I've never understood the false alpha male view of like men never apologize. Yes, you effing do, because everybody F's up. I've done jokes where I use the R word or I use the N word ironically to make fun of racism, but I didn't realize I was laying out a blueprint for a lot of actual effing racists. So it's okay to go, I effed that up. I didn't know what I was doing, or I didn't know any better. Now I know. He adds that some people use the term canceled to make themselves seem more dangerous than they are. I wonder who he might be talking about. It's like the way people used to say, strap in, folks, this is going to get dark. No, if you have to tell people you're edgy and dangerous, you're not. You should just go up there and do effing jokes. Wonder who he's talking about. Joe Coy has a movie out today. This is that Easter Sunday movie. I like Joe Coy. I'm kind of talked out about this movie, so I think today will be the last day that we talk about this one. Joe Coy caught up with the LA Times and said, summers are all about your blockbusters, right? We got Top Gun Maverick, Minions, Bullet Train, and the studio's like, we're putting Joe Coy's movie in that slot. What a beautiful moment to celebrate. Joe Coy said, I just passed another billboard in front of Universal Studios, and as I left that, there's another one. They are full on supporting this movie. That is true. I was on the Major Deegan Expressway, Interstate 87 in New York City, and I saw a Joe Coy billboard with mine own eyes. Joe Coy says, if they're willing to take a chance for my culture and my people have a voice, then I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure everyone goes and sees it. And that's why I'm not sleeping, man. Joseph Glenn Herbert grew up in Washington State. His Air Force veteran father left the family when Coy was 10, and his mother raised the kids from there. They moved to Las Vegas during his high school years, and he began performing stand-up at open mics in 1989. The stage name Joe Coy comes from a mishearing of his aunt calling him to dinner in Tagalog. I'm not proficient in Tagalog, but I believe the phrase is Joe Coy Eat, meaning my Joe Eat, and that somehow turned into Joe Coy. In his early 20s, after being spotted by someone from Catch a Rising Star, Joe Coy became a regular support act for headliners and canvassed the streets handing out 2-for-1 coupons. That is like the worst thing that comedians have to do. It's awful. Eventually, he realized people were coming to see him, not the headliners. He still couldn't get those coveted top-of-the-bill spots, though, so he put his own money into renting a theater and persuaded local businesses to sponsor him, printing coupons for them on the back of his tickets. Soon, he found himself filling the house, then joined the Black College Comedy Tour and appeared on BET's Comic View and Showtime at the Apollo. Joe Coy says, and I won it. He moved to L.A., where he worked as a stocker at Nordstrom and Barnes & Noble. He cleaned yachts to make ends meet for himself and his young son, Joe Jr. Joe says there was a lot of systemic racism going on. I know we threw this around a lot, but it's true. I know we throw this around a lot, but it's true. Late 80s and 90s, it was effed up. You can ask Cedric the Entertainer, Steve Harvey, Margaret Cho, anybody from that era. There was a division in comedy. It was literally called White Nights, Friday and Saturday. If you were any other color, you had to do these theme nights. Thursdays were Asian Invasion. Yeah, I remember Asian Invasion, Chocolate Sundays, Joe Coy Speaks Truth. After his 2019 Netflix special, Joe Coy Coming in Hot, Amblin Entertainment, that Steven Spielberg's company, brought him in for a meeting. Joe says, the minute we walked in, every other person's walking up to me. Oh my God, Steven can't stop talking about your special. Steven's a huge fan. I was like, are you talking about Steven from accounting? And they were like, no, Steven Spielberg's your biggest fan. He wants to make a movie with you. And I pitched Easter Sunday to him. He's been involved since the beginning, from the writing process to picking the director, casting, everything. Thank God for Steven Spielberg. Well, how's the movie? The Hollywood Reporter writes, unfortunately... That's not a good start, Johnny Mac. Unfortunately, the interesting cultural elements are undercut by the cartoonish dialogue, characterizations, and situations, which even manage to include a high-speed car chase that leads to an unfunny scene in which Joe is awkwardly reunited with his bitter ex-girlfriend, now a cop, played by Tiffany Haddish. A particularly strained running gag involves Joe's frequent phone calls with his agent, which invariably get cut short by the agent pretending to lose his cell signal. That's pretty hacky. A lengthy scene set during a church service mainly provides the contrived opportunity for Joe Coy to deliver a short version of a stand-up act, and the cameo by, all right, guy that wrote me about spoilers, I'm giving you 3 seconds here, 2, 1, and the cameo by Lou Diamond Phillips proves an unamusing example of yet another famous performer good-naturedly playing a less than flattering version of themselves. Even worse, oh no, that's not a good start to a sentence, Johnny Mac, are the strained attempts at heartfelt emotion from Junior's burgeoning romance with a young woman who turns out to be the voice of reason to the inevitable reconciliation between the mother and aunt, which leads to an exuberant karaoke session. This sounds like you watch it with the wife on a Thursday night over Christmas break on Amazon, doesn't it? Jim Brewer starts his Freedom of Laughter tour tonight. Let me see if I can summon up half-assed Jim Brewer impression. I worked with Jim for a decade. I used to write a lot of copy for Jim. I don't mean his comedy, but like radio promos and stuff. And I got really good at writing in Jim's voice. And I have Jim's voice in my head. I have noticed, and you may have noticed on the last few podcasts, my voice has been a little thin this week. I feel fine. So let me see if I can bust this out. From the Herald Bulletin, Jim Brewer plans to start a show with off-the-cuff improvisation, then use the material he has prepared. So I've talked about that a lot, especially recently. Jim is really good at free-forming a crowd and reading a room. The Herald Bulletin writes, Jim will ultimately follow the energy of the crowd. Brewer's material is inspired by life in general and the ridiculousness of it. So usually the way I can get into doing Jim is doing a breath thing and going, all right, so, all right, whether it's a current events or hard situations of life, I have no problem tackling that and exploiting it and find a funny angle or healing angle on the subject. I like leaving the crowd going, wow, I don't feel crazy anymore. I don't like getting regular laughs. I'm like, you can't breathe and you're going to get a headache tomorrow. It's going to be the best headache you ever had. Pfft. I love hearing someone laugh so hard because I know it's coming from somewhere else. Especially the last 2 years, people don't laugh hysterically. That's the greatest feeling in the world to know that you can exercise that out of them. Will he be doing SNL material? The last 5 specials, 0 to do with SNL. So the difference between any type of thing written for you, I don't have my good Jim today. I'm in control, and when I'm in control of my destiny, I have no problem failing, and I know how to deliver it. When I'm in someone else's control, it's just like having a job. That was pretty good. See, Jim would lean in on the B there and stretch out that word. Just like having a job. It's just like being in control of everything that you're putting out there. There's no better feeling in the world, and stand-up does that for me. As long as people want to laugh, I'm going to do it the day I'm dead. I don't really have any other goals. I don't need vanity. I don't need to be a star. I'm very happy where I'm at life. Family, morals, friends, faith. I got everything I need. And yeah, my voice is thin today. I just had a nice drink of water, but my daughter is texting me right now. She's hitting the National Donuts chain, and I got a cold brew. I got a cold brew with cinnamon. And if you want to buy me a coffee, you can go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews, and I'll send my daughter to the donuts chain to pick one up for me. I do a casual travel podcast. It's called Travel Is Back. This week, the episode was recorded live from Catalina off the coast of Los Angeles. Catalina Island is awesome. West Coasters are like, yeah, we know. Look, man, I'm from Queens. I didn't know. You didn't tell me. It's awesome. So check out Travel Is Back wherever you get your shows. Today's Daily Comedy News brought to you by ExpressVPN. I was at the brewery last night playing some trivia. Finished 15th. trivia guys, man. So there was a round of TV themes and the trivia guys are like my age. And I'm like, oh, we are going to crush this round. I'm expecting them to do like Green Acres and Happy Days and Chips and MASH. And they were doing stuff from like Nickelodeon. So my kids were there. They had their own team and the kids were like, huh, yeah, we know Josh and Drake's theme. I'm like, what? And so I got just my hat handed to me at trivia. Anyway, I was hanging out with the adult gentleman. Wow, that sounded creepy. My friends, let me just phrase it that way. They're my friends. They're my age. They're adults. They're gentlemen. Anyway, dig out of this hole, Johnny Mac. We're talking about the Paul McCartney concert. And I'm like, you know, I watched the Paul McCartney concert live because I have ExpressVPN, which allows you to reroute your connection to a server in a country of your choice, making geo restrictions a thing of the past. That's right. I sat on the deck watching Paul McCartney and I told the BBC I was in Docklands, UK. I lied to you, BBC. A VPN creates a secure tunnel between your device and the internet. That's how I use it. I watch stuff. Wouldn't you like an additional 3 months of ExpressVPN for free through the special offer? Yes, you're going to go to expressvpn.com/DCN. Sign up and you'll get an additional 3 months free. And then you can watch stuff from all over the world like I do. Let's hang out at Gossip Corner again. Gossip Corner was a lot of fun lately. People still talking about Dane Cook. The best joke I saw was, now Dane Cook's jokes aren't the worst thing about him. Us Weekly has the headline, Kim Kardashian and Pete Davidson send love notes to each other amid hard long-distance romance. Yes, it is so hard filming a movie up by the Great Barrier Reef, and your girlfriend has to fly her private jet all the way to Australia just for you guys to hang out. It is really hard to have a romance like that. An insider tells Us Weekly, Kim and Pete are in constant communication, although their different time zones and filming call times make talking difficult. Oh, boy. They send each other love notes when the other is sleeping, and they FaceTime whenever their schedules link up. The distance has been hard, but even communicating long distance is exciting for them. They can't get enough of each other. The insider says they're still very smitten with each other and can't wait until they're in the same place again. They both have busy schedules at the moment, but they're still making time together. They're very much enjoying spending time together. Okay, got it. And the Daily Mail. They had somebody out, not at all stalking Olivia Munn and John Mulaney. They just happened to be walking by and the guy from the Daily Mail happened to be there. So somebody snapped some pictures. It happens. It happens. But I love the flourish Daily Mail puts on their copy. Olivia Munn and John Mulaney appeared blissfully in love as they strolled with their son in New York City on Thursday morning. The 42-year-old beauty looks casually chic in a pair of white and tan striped cotton overalls with a white crop top, which offered a peek at her trim torso. The Tales of the Walking Dead actress stylized her long dark locks in straight layers. Her makeup looked daytime fresh with a neutral pink limp. She finished the look with large cat eye sunglasses, earrings, a gold pendant, and cream slide sandals. It's a lot of detail there, Daily Mail. John, 39, kept cool in a gray t-shirt, yellow shorts, sneakers, and a white baseball cap. All right, I saw the picture of John Mulaney in the yellow shorts and the t-shirt. He makes me look like George Clooney. And I'm wearing blue shorts and a t-shirt with a puppy on it right now. But John in the yellow shorts... yeah, he made me look like Joe DiMaggio in a suit. Know what I'm saying? The Daily Mail adds, the couple's 8-month-old son, Malcolm, was nestled in a stroller. And that's your comedy news for today. Follow the show for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your shows. Buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews and normal episodes all weekend. I'm about to record them. See you tomorrow.